Welcome to PM. Well, the 12 Thai boys and their coach at the centre of the dramatic cave drama in northern Thailand are doing well, officials have said today, after the last of the group were brought out late last night. But after the gripping rescue mission, there's been an associated sadness. The Australian anaesthetist and cave diving specialist Richard Harris learned while still in Thailand of the unexpected death of his father. And amid the celebrations of the success of the daring and high-risk rescue mission, there have been reminders that the rescue attempt itself took one life, the former Thai Navy SEAL, Sergeant Major Saman Gunan, who died on Friday while replenishing oxygen tanks along the rescue route. Details of the mission timeline and how it played out deep inside Tham Luang Cave are yet to be completely revealed, but we'll hear more in a moment of what we have pieced together. First, though, I've been speaking with our reporter Anne Barker, who has today been allowed into the first part of the cave. Anne, tell us about the cave. How did you get in? How far did you get in? And what did it feel like and look like? What sense did it give you?
It was quite amazing because even though you see the pictures on the television, you really don't know what to expect until you're there. And, you know, we hadn't been allowed anywhere near it the other day when we were at the cave site. So you just go up over a hill and then down these long stairs and you suddenly realize how huge the cave is. Even the entrance is like this vast cavern with these huge stalactites sort of hanging from the roof. You go down a very long set of stairs down to the bottom and there's this, it's like a lake at the moment simply because it's so full of water. And there's still a massive pump there that's just working furiously to pump the water out. And they've obviously not got around to turning it off yet. And there's still quite a lot of activity where people are, you know, cleaning up and removing everything. But so there's soldiers and there's police everywhere, going everywhere. And just outside, you see all the scuba diving equipment and the wetsuits all hanging up, still drying. But I can imagine, you know, at the height of this rescue, there would have just been scores of divers coming and going and support teams ferrying in medical supplies and so on. It must have just been absolute chaos.
And just thinking about how the boys would have viewed, you know, these children of 11, 13, 16, you know, seeing this intriguing place, going there, it seems people go there frequently. Did it feel imposing? Did it feel threatening? Could you see down into the dark? What was that like?
Well, I think it's only imposing and threatening when you know what has happened as a result of these boys going in there. But, you know, I can imagine any child who lives near a cave like that would want to go in and explore, especially when you know that it goes for 10 kilometres into the mountain. I mean, I find that quite mind-boggling. And you know, these boys ended up 4 kilometres in. And when you look, I mean, it's only light really in that first entry, that giant cavern. As soon as you go to the bottom and to one side, there's another set of stairs that goes up. But by then you're in such deep water that you don't want to go up. And once you get through there, it's kind of gets darker and darker. And so, you know, they must have had good torches with them. I can't imagine how they would have got much further without some sort of light. And the idea of walking 4 kilometres in, presumably it wasn't wet or wet as it is now when they first went in, but it's a hell of a walk for anyone, let alone an adventurous young soccer team.
And what's the latest on how the boys and the coach are doing?
Well, they're all doing well. You know, we went to a press conference at the hospital a short while ago, wanting to hear particularly how the coach was and the 11-year-old boy, because he was the youngest. And we knew that the coach had been in a weaker position than the others. In fact, the group that came out yesterday, the four boys and the coach, were all in very similar condition to the eight others that came out in the 2 days before. There's another boy who has signs of pneumonia, so that makes three of them that have got some sort of lung infection. But overall, they're in fairly good health. They're all being checked for things like flu, diseases like leptospirosis. In fact, this group that came through didn't have any problem with body temperature when they came out of the caves, like a lot of the boys in the first two groups. They didn't have any signs of hypothermia or anything. They didn't really need any heating up, as far as I know. But they're all slowly transitioning from a sort of medical diet of, you know, protein, milk and light porridge onto more regular meals, depending which group they came out in. And their parents of the first group, at least, have been allowed into the ward now, although they're not allowed to actually touch their sons. They've got to maintain a 2-metre distance and keep a face mask on. So it will be a few days yet until they're sort of strictly out of quarantine that they can sort of hug their parents, which I'm sure they're all, you know, wanting to do.
Our reporter Anne Barker in northern Thailand, and we'll come back to that story a little bit later on in the program.